Hello, and welcome to a new episode of Content Verkey. This is a guestless episode, so you're either going to love this, listening to me babble for about 20 to 30 minutes, or you're going to tune in again next time when I have a lovely guest again. But today's episode is all about upskilling as UX writer or content designer. I've been receiving a lot of questions about this, specifically since when I shared that I was laid off, and now that I've also already found a new job again, how did I do that? Did I have to upskill at all? Was there anything I focused on in terms of learning or training? And I have quite a few thoughts on this, so I thought I'd make a quick episode and just explain my line of thinking. As usual, take everything with a grain of salt. This is mostly based on my own experience and my experience from interviewing other folks and talking to other people in the field. But hopefully you'll find some useful advice in this episode. So thanks so much for tuning in. Hope you enjoy the episode. The first thing there is to be said, if you're thinking about learning anything on top of UX writing or content design, is that you probably already can do a lot of great things that maybe you're not using in your day-to-day life as a UX writer yet. So most of us come from various backgrounds. There's journalists, there's former teachers, there's former copywriters, there's former engineers like me. A bunch of different people turn to UX writing and content design and are really, really great at that job. And I do always say and truly believe that this is due to the fact that we have all kinds of backgrounds that are maybe not cookie cutter, the design background that most people think that we have. And I think this is your strength, specifically when it comes to upskilling, because something that really does benefit me every time I start a new project or I join a new team or I take on a new job is that I try to think a little bit outside of the box of design thinking. And usually the type of thinking I apply is thinking that I learned in engineering school, sometimes even thinking that I learned in business school when I was doing my marketing and strategy and organization courses. Super fun side note, but I remember taking two semesters of organization teaching at a German university, well, a little bit over a decade ago now, and learning about mass layoffs as part of the economy. And then when it happened to myself, I had this aha moment of like, oh, wow, like, so this is how it feels when you're in it. And I remember back then thinking, wow, it's ridiculous that they're teaching us this. But it was actually quite useful for me to look at it from the very, well, macroeconomic perspective instead of taking it very personally, which was my natural response to being laid off. So definitely just like a fun side note there. But anyhow, when it comes to upskilling, I did not specifically sign up for a course or really deep dived into anything that I wanted to get better at or really learn, mostly because there wasn't really anything I was super eager to learn more about, except for one thing, and that for me has been leadership. I personally think that, well, at least for me, it takes years to feel comfortable viewing myself as a leader, leading figure, viewing myself as a potential manager. And I've been able to, luckily enough, dip my toes into management several times, both as a consultant, but also in in-house positions. And while I've really enjoyed that, I've also developed a lot of respect for management and for specifically leadership higher up. So for me, every time I was in a situation where I led a team or I managed a couple of people, I really took note of the things that I wasn't comfortable with and tried to think about ways that I could get more comfortable. So that could maybe be being more vulnerable, being more open with my reports, maybe learning more about how to hire people more efficiently or make sure that they're a good fit for my team. But also specifically, I really am interested into team dynamics. So how do I make sure that the people that I'm working with closely that are in my team get along with each other and understand each other and have processes that work for everyone? So those are things that I kind of picked up on over the years that I always thought, hey, I want to invest more time in this and I want to learn more about how this works. So that's something that I had kind of set myself as a goal. Luckily enough, I already kind of started thinking about this and working a little bit on that when I went on maternity leave, just because I had a little bit more time to do it then. Well, not a lot more time, but at least my mind wasn't occupied with other work-related things. And I really enjoyed that. So what I did was that I read a couple of books, but I also specifically talked to a lot of my friends that already are in leadership positions or that have already made the transition from, let's say, a staff UX writer to a lead UX writer, managing their own team, maybe even hiring their own team. But also I try to really think about, hey, who could I talk to that maybe was facing specific challenges, like working with people across time zones, or maybe leading a team that they hadn't brought on themselves. So if they had been hired after their team, that usually comes with a different set of challenges. So really kind of looking at who do I already know, who am I already connected with that is working in this kind of environment, and then seeing if I can learn from them, either from what they're sharing online, but often enough, if I'm close enough to these people, I do take them out for a lunch or a coffee. And I, of course, always offer something in return because time isn't free and it's very appreciated to, you know, share. But yeah, so I did that already while I was on leave, and I really, really enjoyed that. And I took a lot of note of those things that these people were sharing and telling me to kind of build that into my own leadership practice. So in a way, you could call this upskilling because it wasn't something I had focused on before I went on leave. And it's definitely something that benefited me when I was interviewing for new positions now. Not just in regards to me showcasing those skills or showcasing certain leadership behaviors, but also actually it really helped me identify teams that I thought were functioning well and that I could see myself joining and that I could see myself working in and being happy in. And funnily enough, it also helped me identify teams where this definitely was not the case, where I would maybe not have been happy with the person I was reporting to, or where maybe I felt like the people that I would be working most closely with weren't a great match for what I was looking for. So also, again, a little bit of a side note, but I think anything you upskill with will make it easier for you to spot opportunities that work for you, be that in the context of wanting to work on something specific or maybe wanting to work with something specific or, you know, things like leadership. So that's like a really like a very, very obvious example for me where I upskilled in general. And I said this in the episode about being laid off as well. I think if you're laid off, specifically part of a mass layoff, it's not necessarily on you to get really stressed and feel like you have to do better and improve. Oftentimes it's completely random, doesn't have anything to do with your skills at all. So I definitely also want to send out that signal again. If you just feel exhausted by the process, and we all know interviewing for jobs and finding a new job is extremely exhausting as it is, don't feel the pressure to upskill. However, if you are in UX writing and content design and you do feel like, hey, I have a little bit of energy, or maybe it's even something that gives you energy, something that you can focus on and you can have your kind of small successes as you get better, then please go ahead. And I think there's a couple of things, depending on what you're interested in, that could be worth looking into. Now, if you specifically want to stay within content design, then I think there could be some potential in looking into how to best work with AIs, how you can maybe use them for your work, how you can integrate them in your processes. You could think about things like chatbot design. I've been seeing more requests for those, more roles that really deal with those. So that's potentially something you may want to look into. But you can also just look at projects or trying to do tasks outside of your current industry. So for example, if you've been working really heavily in tech, maybe there is a charity that you could reach out to and do a small project for, or that you can kind of look into and see how would your process be different if you would be working with their product or with their type of audience. Another thing that I, of course, personally also think is super useful for any UX writer, for any content designer, is basic knowledge in content marketing. Now, this is not usually something that you'll learn in any UX writing course or that is often advertised for content designers. But me, as someone with a master's in marketing and someone that also teaches content marketing and has worked with content marketing for many years, I still use so many of the content marketing practices and skills in my day-to-day work as a content designer. So I definitely think, you know, there's a lot of great free resources, also great free courses out there on content marketing. Side note, also a couple of great episodes here on Content Rookie that you can listen to if you're interested in just understanding what is content marketing, what does it mean. I think it can be really, really valuable for content designers to think more in that marketing mindset. That being said, I've also seen and heard from a couple of folks in similar situations that it has been a little bit more difficult to get content design and UX writing jobs right now. A lot of companies are still hiring rather carefully this year. Hopefully that will change. However, specifically, if you're being approached by smaller companies and by startups, they often need a wider skill set. So if you can present to them, hey, like, I'm a UX writer, but I also understand content marketing and could probably also help you on the marketing side instead of just the product side, that potentially is a huge advantage for those companies. And they may be more likely to hire you. And I've definitely had at least two friends that actually upskilled a little bit towards the content marketing direction and then landed jobs with startups where they get to work now both across the product and marketing, which some will say is not the ideal setup because it's too many contexts and too much work for a UX writer. But I do think you are going to be learning a lot and really, really sharpening your skills in two directions. And hey, maybe you'll discover you actually like working in a marketing team as a content designer, because that's also something I've been seeing pop up more and more. So content design, not just being hired into product and design teams anymore, but actually also onto marketing teams, because marketers have realized, hey, like, we really want to think about the context we are presenting to our audience here as well. We really want to look at how people are navigating the website, how they're finding whatever campaign we're sending their way. So to really tighten that gap between marketing and design, which of course for me, I'm really happy to see and hear this, because it's something I've always said from the beginning of my career, that you can't really make that big of a distinction between a UX writer and someone that writes for marketing or creates content for marketing. So yeah, those are just, I think, a couple of personal recommendations or thoughts to throw out there. But then I also think you could look completely outside of the current discipline, the content design world, the UX writing world, the writing world, and just think about what are some of the other things that you would love to understand more about and that could maybe help you work with stakeholders more. Because if you're already working as a UX writer, you know stakeholder management is probably at least 50% of your job, if not more, depending on if you're new or depending on how big the organization is that you work with. And something that has definitely always helped me is understanding the processes my stakeholders have and how they approach their work. So that could be about, you know, maybe shadowing a product manager or talking to a friend that is a product manager, learning a little bit more about product management, the specifics there. I did that a couple of years ago and personally found that extremely valuable to my work. But then there's also some other stakeholders that maybe not all of us have on our radar. Could be localization managers. It could be, again, product marketers. It could be people working in legal. So really thinking about the constraints there and if there's anything you may want to learn there. And honestly, I have even found it helpful in the past to understand a little bit about development cycles and how the developers I'm working with approach their processes. And something that I found really valuable, and that's great if you are actually currently employed, is just shadowing a developer maybe for a couple of hours, or you could do like an hour here and there for a couple of weeks. The ones that I've done this with have always been super appreciative of this and really eager to share their ways of working. And at the same time, then they're also often more open to me sharing my ways of working. And it's also a great way to unlock better collaboration while you're also upskilling, because you're learning really valuable skills for your content design and UX writing practice. Well, and then besides all of these things, of course, you could upskill by doing some courses. There's a bunch of great courses and resources out there. A couple of great workshops. I've seen a great series coming from my friend Michael Metz, who's doing workshops on leadership now that I think could be super interesting for a lot of us who've been in the field longer and are maybe a little bit hesitant to go into leadership, just as I was, because we know that it requires a lot of work and maybe respect it a little. So definitely look those up. I'll link them in the info box as well. And of course, there's a lot of other things you could do that I personally also think are upskilling. And maybe that is taking a complete break from what you're currently working with and not thinking about, hey, how can I get better? How can I advance in this? But maybe taking up a totally different hobby that then at least will stimulate your brain and give you ideas of how to think differently. Because I've been most frustrated in my work life when I've been working too much and working in the same way too much. So really having so many content design projects, for example, that I'm kind of forced to approach them with the same type of process. I don't have a lot of time to think out of the box. I don't have a lot of time to do things differently because I'm in a rush. It makes me really frustrated. It doesn't really benefit the quality of my work, but I also don't really learn. So what's helped me then is, and you know, helps to live in Europe for this, of course, is to take a longer break, be that a longer vacation, or to really try to scope down my work a little bit, maybe after a big deadline has passed or things have slowed down a little bit. Again, communicate this really openly with your manager. Hopefully they'll understand, and take some time to do something completely different. So for me, of course, I love to write also in my free time, but in the way that has nothing to do with content design. I like to write poetry and short stories, and maybe I'll be writing a children's book, who knows? So, but doing that kind of stuff that has nothing to do with work usually unlocks completely different types of creative thinking for me, and also different types of problem solving. Honestly, my husband and I, we purchased a house a couple of months ago that was a full renovation project. It's a house from the 50s. And we had to learn to do so many things that we hadn't expected. But again, it really helped us with our problem solving skills. It also really was a bit of a lesson in relationship dynamics and learning how to give each other feedback in a different type of way. All of those things are super valuable for you in a work and job environment as well. So don't neglect those. There are so many ways to upskill. There are so many ways to become an even more valuable asset to your current employer, to your future employer. So many different ways to grow your career. And I definitely want to send that signal out there. Don't feel pressure. And if you feel like you don't have the energy to learn something, in air quotes, official, then, you know, look at the other parts of your life where you're maybe already learning, or where you could invest a little bit more time and energy and learn that would actually give you energy back. There's great ways to have quick wins. There's great things that you can do and learn that will make your current work life better and potentially give you greater opportunities in the future. So don't close your eyes for those opportunities. There's a lot out there. And if you feel like you don't have the energy right now, hey, you know, rest. And maybe while resting, you'll have some great ideas on what you want to do. I recently took up running again after my daughter. She's 9 months old now, so I feel like I can actually run without feeling like, you know, the lower part of my body is going to fall out. But anyway, so I've been running a lot in the early morning because she wakes at 5:30. And it's very quiet. I usually run in a really big graveyard close to where we live. And I've had such great ideas of stuff I want to do, and also just thinking about work-related things and how I could approach certain problems differently. It's been actually really great for me and very valuable, and a good reminder that, you know, doing things differently and learning things can happen anytime, and you can have the ideas to do that wherever you are, and you should not pressure yourself, and specifically not force yourself to learn something you're maybe not that interested in. Like, I can honestly say I'm not really into chatbots, so I'm not too eager to actually upskill in that direction. And then that's maybe something I'll have to live with. All right, I hope this episode was at least a little bit valuable for you, maybe a little bit motivating. And thank you so much for listening. I hope you tune in again next time. This is Nicole from Content Rookie. Bye-bye.